Good evening, and welcome to Studies Through the Bible with Pastor Zach Ebarb. I am, of course, Pastor Zach, and it is great to be on here with all of you tonight. We had a bit of a hiccup last week with the recording from last Monday. It kind of disappeared into the ether there for a little bit. We finally managed to find it on a backup server of Podbean, so all of that is now taken care of, thankfully. So that recording and the one for tonight will be going out right after we get done with this segment this evening. But tonight we are getting into a question that's probably just as hotly debated, maybe even more so hotly debated in this day and time as the one that we looked at last week with, you know, why should you even believe in a God at all? You know, what is the proof or the evidence for such a person to exist? And tonight's that we're looking at deals with the nature of the people that tend to say that they are followers of God. And that question is one that I get often of, well, why should I believe in the Bible or in the God of the Bible or in Christianity? I don't really like to use that term in this day and time because it doesn't have the same contextual meaning today as it had when that term was phrased back in the days of Acts. But why should I believe in a God who has hypocrites or judgmental people, or both sometimes, as their followers? One of the biggest things that I tend to hear about God and God's people or about churches in general of any flavor of religion, or creed, doctrine, whatever, is that, well, they're all hypocrites, or they're all judgmental. And so we're going to kind of break that down tonight because there is some sides of that that are definitely correct, and I would more than agree with that there are many kind people of that nature in churches today. However, at the same time, we're going to deconstruct that argument on the back end because that argument, in my opinion, tends to be much, much more an attempt to deflect from the obvious than it actually is a legitimate concern. So let's first talk about hypocrisy. I'm a pastor. I'll be the first person to tell you that churches are full of hypocrisy. I don't think I've ever been in a church that did not have hypocrisy. I don't think I've ever talked to God's people that didn't have hypocrisy, and I'll just be completely blunt with you. I don't think that there's ever been a time that I myself have not had some hypocrisy in my life. So what we need to talk about when we're talking about hypocrisy is not necessarily the sin of hypocrisy, but rather the degree of the sin, for lack of a better way of putting it. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, all of humanity is sinful. All of humanity has this problem. And, essentially that word hypocrisy is a Greek word, and I'm not going to get into that because you're not here for Greek study, but it talks about or it alludes to the Greek plays because women were not allowed to take part in the plays. Therefore, men would actually put on a mask and play the part of a female in many plays. And so that term for an actor that does that is where we derive the word hypocrite. Well, why is that? Well, because a man's not really a woman. He's putting on a mask. He's hiding who and what he truly is. He's being something that he is not. That's the idea of the word, is that if you're a hypocrite, you're tending to be something that you are not. And so, whether we like this or not, we all struggle with this in every aspect of our Christian walk, and even if you're on here and you're not saved, you struggle with this on a day-to-day basis. I am sure that if I spent enough time around you, you would more than show yourself to be a hypocrite in some form or fashion. Now, maybe you're already with me and you're like, oh, no, never me, never me. I'll give you a very good example. When people are sitting around, they're talking about the things they do around their home and their chores and their schedules. right? We all kind of have this, well, you know, I have a very rigid, very set schedule. I'm a very responsible adult. And we talk about our schedules, or we talk about how clean we like to keep our homes, or we talk about how to raise our kids and, you know, these kinds of things. And every time we're talking to somebody about that, we paint a perfect picture, don't we? You know, I get up every day at this, and I get my coffee, and I sit like this, and I do that, and da-da-da-da-da. Or if we're talking about our kid, they get up every day, and they do just this, and there's no TV. You know, they don't watch TV. We kind of paint this little bit of a rosy picture of how we do everything. When in all reality, that's probably what happens on Saturday and not what happens Monday through Friday, correct? We're all hypocrites to a degree. So anytime I hear this question, my first thing is, well, what do you mean by that? Because if you mean, well, there was this one time this supposed Christian got mad and yelled at me, you know, in Walmart parking lot, and therefore everybody's a hypocrite, okay, how many times have you done that same foolish thing in your day-to-day actions? Probably just as many as that supposed Christian did, right? Not justifying the behavior in any way, shape, or form. In fact, Jesus Christ agrees with you. Jesus Christ hates hypocrisy. I as a pastor personally, hate hypocrisy because that's the thing that leads to the most fights in churches. 99% of the time, if there is an issue that comes up in the church that's brought to my attention, it always leads back to that. Always. Some form of hypocrisy. Some form of, well, you know, you're saying that you're a child of God, but you're not really acting like one right now, brother or sister so-and-so. And so I completely agree with you, lost person, or struggling saved person, that yes, there is hypocrisy in the church, but there's never going to be a time that there isn't. And the reason for that is that we're lost and fallen people. You're not going to get away from that. So to me, I would like to flip the script on you and say, well, what do you mean? To what degree is there hypocrisy? If you've got a church building full of people, yes, from time to time, God's people are going to fail to to live up perfect expectations of the Bible. That's going to happen. No, I'm not using that as an excuse. I never would use that as an excuse. I am simply stating to you the reality of the situation. There's never going to be a time that God's people are at some point a hypocrite because they fail to live up to the expectations of the Bible. Now, what I tend to think you probably mean with this question is people who are habitually a hypocrite, meaning they're contentious in the church, they cause problems in the church, they are rude to other people, they talk horribly to other people, they are scheming against the pastor, or they're trying to scheme for some position of authority, or there's, you know, all these in-the-dark, shady things going on, as we would say in this more modern generation. And to me, my answer to you would be yes, those things do go on much more than a lot of people realize. However, I would not call those people God's people. See, there's a difference between a child of God who stumbles every now and again and goes, oh no, oh no, oh no, I have made a mistake. And then there is someone who has spent the last 40 years sitting on a pew acting just as horribly 40 years ago as they do today. I would tell you right now as a pastor, the likelihood of that person being saved is slim to none. You know, I might be willing to caveat that a little bit depending on the situation, but 99.9% of the time, such a person is not a child of God. And I know what you're thinking. Well, okay, well, why would God's people then allow such a person to exist in a church? That's a very good question. It's a question that I have to ask myself all the time of, you know, if we have somebody that's a habitual problem causer that I sit there and go, Lord, what in the world? Like, why don't we deal with this individual? Because even though I'm the pastor, I only have so much authority. And not only do I only have so much authority, but you don't want to exercise something that not everybody is on the page to do. Like, there had been more than enough times in my time as a pastor that I've been like, this is what we need to be doing. Y'all have got to get it in gear. But if I had forced it, that would have pushed it further and further away from happening. Whereas, as they grew in the Word of God, they reached that decision on their own. And that is my answer to you about that question. Of, well, why would you allow somebody to resign like that? Because it's not the job of the people to deal with that individual. God will deal with that person. Now, that does not mean you let that person run amok. If you were to come to the church that I pastor, if somebody is blatantly rude and I see it, oh, that doesn't end well. That doesn't go well for anybody. That does not end well for anybody, because as a church and as children of God, if one of our supposed brothers or sisters in Christ behaves like that, it needs to be immediately addressed and say, we don't allow that here. Those people are more than welcome to come into this church, and you need to sit down and be quiet before you get yourself in trouble. That's exactly how that should be handled. So when we're talking about there being hypocrisy amongst God's people or in the church, I want you to understand, first of all, Jesus completely agrees with you that hypocrisy is horribly and terribly wrong. And he is just as angry about it as you are. So let's not use that as an excuse to not serve Christ, because he agrees with you about that. But secondly, I want you to understand that there's no church that's not going to have hypocrisy in it. The question is, what is the degree of it? If the church is, as a whole, actively saying that they love Jesus on Sunday and doing whatever they want during the rest of the week, then yeah, that's probably a church you should not go to. More than likely, that is the church who has zero to very few actual God-called believers in it. Maybe even the pastor is somebody who's masquerading as somebody that they are not. More than able to happen. Have seen it before in my own time, and I'm not very old, despite how I look. And so, I agree with you and the nature of hypocrisy, but you must take into account the degree. Yes, there's going to be Christians that stumble from time to time. There's going to be problems that occur. There's going to be people that reach rough spots in their life. And, you know, I think probably the best answer to handle this issue of hypocrisy is to be open and honest with one another. Something that I try to do when I preach or teach others is that if the lesson we're dealing with is something that is going on in my life or something that I'm dealing with personally, well, I make myself the illustration. Now, there's a lot of pastors that disagree with doing this. You know, you're not supposed to show all your cards. You're not supposed to look weak or vulnerable in front of the people. However, I have learned that the best way to address other people who are not meeting the standards of God, to be able to have those tough conversations of brother or sister so-and-so, you got to get your act together. You have to show them that you also have times that your act is not together. Even this last Sunday, I was talking about how, you know, a lot of my recent weeks I had neglected my own personal relationship with God, trying to accomplish all of the things that need to be accomplished from day to day with my quote-unquote, I hate to use this term with what I do, but job, okay? As a pastor, you spend every day in the Bible. You spend every day talking to people or talking to members or answering questions or, you know, situations or, you know, maybe something happens and you got to go to a hospital, you know, these kinds of things. And you know, you have deacons that can come alongside and help to ease some of that, but that doesn't, you know, they have lives too. You know, there's things that are going on there for them as well. And so when you're trying to prepare sermons and lessons and podcasts and articles and dealing with computer stuff and talking to missionaries, and it adds up to where you start becoming more about getting from Sunday to Sunday than about knowing God Sunday to Sunday. And so, you know, when you have moments like that, I think that would definitely help to lessen this idea of hypocrisy in the church if God's people were just more honest, you know, about what's going on in their their lives or what's happening here or there. You know, I tend to think that God's people are their own worst enemies. They tend to think the worst of one another. And we're about to get, that kind of goes into that judgmental thing we're going to talk about in just a minute. And they tend to think that if they were to reveal they had stumbled, that they, you know, be excommunicated or something of that nature. And I am sure that that level of hypocrisy does exist in some churches. But if you are genuinely wanting to serve the Lord, you genuinely want to do what's right, you genuinely want to be a child of God, you will find a church that does not exist in. There are far more that are not that way than many people realize. So when you use this argument of hypocrisy, you agree with Jesus completely on the matter. Jesus is right there with you. So using that as an excuse to not believe in Christ is kind of silly when he agrees with your point of view. But secondly, you need to assess the degree of what do you mean by that, because you too do wrong in your life. You stumble from time to time. You know, a really good quote that I saw that we could expand actually beyond this was, you know, whatever expectations you have of your pastor should meet your commitments as a member. Well, whatever expectations you have of a church should meet your commitment as a child of God. You know, before you and I can talk about hypocrisy or judgment or any of those things, we have to assess our own life, because we may be being a hypocrite and judgmental with what we're assessing in. So you have to look at the degree of it. Thirdly, you need to remember that Jesus Christ is more than capable of forgiving that sin, and that that sin is just like any other. Saying that a church has hypocrisy in it is no different than me saying you probably lied this week. You know, there's no difference in the two. And the only person that can help to change that is somebody who can come in and, you know, be honest with them of, well, why are you doing this? This isn't right, or this is wrong, or, you know, why are y'all behaving in this way? You know, this is what the Bible says. And there is one final point to kind of caveat into that, to kind of look at, and that particular point is the fact that you and I all too often forget that you and I and all of the people that are in this world are struggling daily with sin. And the reason that that is so important to this conversation of hypocrisy is that you and I cannot possibly begin to imagine what a world looks like, or even what a life looks like, even our own life looks like, without some degree of sin in it, can we? You know, if you've said a word you shouldn't say today, or you've been rude to somebody, or you had a mean thought, or you had an inappropriate thought, or you, in any way, shape, or form, spoke unkindly to somebody, yeah, well, you committed a sin. Whether you did just one today or you did 200, doesn't matter. You in and of itself are playing the hypocrite in that moment of one sin. So you need to take into account when you're looking at the hypocrisy of a church, not just that Jesus agrees with you, not just, well, what to degree does this hypocrisy exist within this body? Not just the fact that Jesus died for those sins, but you also need to look at yourself and determine whether or not maybe you're seeing some things in them that are already existing in you. Which then brings us to the next conversation. And this conversation actually really does chap my khakis, for lack of a better way of putting it. I know that's a very southern way of saying it. But the reason that it does is because this is a word that gets thrown around all the time. You live in a victimhood culture that everybody is being judged in some form or fashion. I hear that word, you're being judgmental, you're judging me, which is not a grammatically correct way of putting all that, you judging me, you know, that kind of nonsense. And I hear this all the time, and so before we can even start this conversation, you and I need to have a discussion about what does that really mean? Because we have, as a culture, taken this idea of judging and being judgmental and made it into something it is not. We have defined judging or being judgmental as anything you say that is negative about my life. You know, if you walked up to me in Walmart and you didn't like my shoes and you said, "Oh, I don't like your shoes," with the way we are using that word in this day and time, I could go, "Oh, you're judging. How rude. You should automatically like my shoes because they're my shoes." That's the culture that we live in. Well, you don't have to like my shoes. Quite frankly, I would not care whether you liked them or not. I'd just tell you you had poor taste if you insulted my shoes. But that's the way that we use this word. And that's not at all what that word means, nor does it mean what you're trying to imply about it. So there's two different forms of judging that are spoken of in the Bible. One is what the actual word means, which is to discern. And when I go deer hunting and I hear a noise in the woods, I judge that noise to determine what I'm hearing. If I see a figure move through the trees, I judge that figure to determine what is coming towards me. And if you go out into your front yard and you look over and you see a bright speck of pink in the grass or in the wood line, how, you know, whatever kind of house that you know, whatever kind of landscaping you have around your home. Well, you're going to judge that pink speck to determine what it is that you're looking at. So that idea of judge, the word judge as a whole, means to discern. Now, the judging that is discussed in the Bible is judging, but it's judging with an attitude. Meaning that instead of trying to discern something, you are rather condemning something. Has more to do with your attitude and your approach and your motivation for what you're doing. Now, obviously, the form of judging in the Bible that is condemned by Jesus Christ is the one of condemning. And the idea to condemn somebody is to not only are you making a false discernment, but you are passing punishment or passing condemnation towards it, meaning you're falsely accusing or you're speaking badly of. You know, there's a lot of different ways that I can condemn you. You know, if I see you crossing the street and you're carrying a box out of a store, and I can immediately do one of two things. I can judge that and say, "Oh, well, they bought something in the store," which 99% of the time is more than the correct way to look at that situation. Or I could do what 1% of the population would do, which is to assume, "Oh, you stole that box." Well, let's say that you didn't steal it. And I yell, "Hey, they stole that," or I call the police, or I jump on you. Well, what have I done? I have condemned you. I did not try to discern the situation. I did not go over and say, "Hey, buddy, you need help with that box? Where'd you get that box?" You know, this kind of thing. I just immediately passed a punishment onto you. I passed a judgment onto you and made an assumption without discerning whether or not that was the case. So, when you talk about Christians being judgmental, oh yeah, I agree with you. I've met many judgmental Christians, many of them standing behind a pulpit, to be quite frank with you. However, the idea that anytime someone says something negative or bad about your life is being judgmental is 110% wrong. When you and I are looking at the life of an individual, we are called in the Bible to do what Paul refers to as, in the King James language, as test the spirits, which means to judge a person or to discern a person. Meaning that I am supposed to, anytime I meet somebody, observe them, their behavior, their actions, how they talk, the things that they do. Well, why should I do that? Well, I should do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, if they say they're a child of God, but I do not know that for myself, well, then I need to kind of see whether or not I agree with that consensus. You know, me as a pastor, before I will call somebody to preach or to fill in for me, I like to have some conversations with that individual first to decide whether or not he and I either believe the same or whether or not he really is what he says that he is. Because if I just toss him in the pulpit, I'm gone on a week trip or something, he can say anything in that two-hour time frame that might be completely and totally wrong. Might teach a lesson to the people that are at my congregation that is completely and totally wrong. And so, and even they I are supposed to be discerning him as a speaker while I'm away. And if he says something that is not biblically accurate, they're supposed to address it, okay? The reason for that is common sense, to be quite honest with you. You discern people all the time so that you are not in danger when you go places. You discern people all the time to try and get to know them. If you work in retail or you work in any kind of sales position or an HR position, when you're dealing with people, the number one thing you need to know is who is sitting across from you, correct? If I'm going to sell somebody a car, well, then I need to kind of pay attention to that person, their quirks, their needs, the things that they want, the colors they prefer, whether or not they are a down-to-earth, simple kind of person where they're wanting to just get what they need for the cheapest price, or if they got a little bit of an ego and they're kind of a peacock and they're going to want the biggest and the baddest that's out there in the lot, right? When you're talking to people, you discern people all the time. And God's people are called to do that exact same thing. When I meet somebody, if we go out into the community and we're passing out, you know, flyers and things about salvation and we're talking to people that, you know, that'll give us the time to talk to them, I'm always trying to discern who they are so that I can have that conversation with them. I can present the gospel in a way that they'll understand it better. Or I can know something more about them. Or if they say, well, you know, I'm a child of God, but I haven't been in church for a while. I want to discern what caused that. What's really the root problem? You know, was the church really just horrible and atrocious? Or does this person have something going on in their life that's causing them to go from place to place to place? You're supposed to do that because part of discerning people shows that you actually care about who you're talking to. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't take the time to get to know you. If I didn't care about you, I certainly wouldn't take the time to get to know about you or be willing to tell you maybe something you're doing in your life is not the smartest thing to do. Maybe it's a bad thing for you to do. And so when we're talking about being judgmental or Christians being judgmental, because I've heard this many times as a pastor, had people that have left churches before that I've been at because, oh, well, you or the pastor or me as the pastor, you were judgmental to me. You told me something I didn't want to hear. And part of biblical true love is discerning somebody and being honest with that person about what you see. A very good example of this is if I can see that a young person is going to get themselves into trouble, maybe they're dating a boy or they're dating a girl and, you know, they're all Twitter-pated, but Twitter-pated is not the same as actually finding somebody to live your life with. And they come to me and they ask my opinion. I always say, don't ask that question if you don't want the answer. Because I have already discerned, I have done the digging, and I have done the looking and the flipping over of the rocks. Well, why? Because I love this young person that's in my congregation. And I don't want to see them wreck their lives, whether they like that or not. And so that idea of judging and discerning is based in a principle of love. It's based in a principle of loving all people, because we're called to discern all people and not discern them for condemnation. See, now that's where we get into what you mean when you say, oh, they're being judgmental. If I try to use my discernment to punish you, to accuse you, to try to come at you or to damage you in some form or fashion with accusations, or to try to make a mockery of you, you know, those kinds of things, yes, that is being judgmental. That's highly condemned by God. Only God has the right to deal with that. Probably the best way that I can think to explain that to you is that there's this really weird idea that pastors, and I'm sure that there are many who do this, but I do not, kind of like pay attention to how much you come to church, and then they give you like a scolding if you don't come as much as they think you should come. This is kind of this idea that's floated around since I've been a pastor, that I tell people all the time, I don't take attendance. Now, when I say I don't take attendance, that does not mean that I do not care enough to discern that you are not there. What that means is that I'm not going to show up to your house Monday and say, now, where were you at? That is being judgmental. That is assuming the worst about you or why you did not do what you were supposed to do. That is trying to guilt trip you, trying to make you do what I think is right. And at the end of the day, the job of dealing with you and whether or not you're doing right, that's God's job. That's not mine. That's what it means to be judgmental, is when I'm trying to carry out God's job. That does not mean that I can't look at you and say, well, I think what you're doing is probably not the most intelligent thing. Or I can look at you and say, well, you know, that what you're doing is wrong and it's sinful. That's not what you're supposed to do. It's going to destroy your life. That's not being judgmental. That's being real. That's being factual. That's using discernment. And that's showing you love that's a very hard love. It's not easy to be honest with people. That's not an easy thing to do. There are many, many times as a pastor that I have wanted to just lie my hind end off when somebody has asked that question of what is your opinion? Because 99% of the time, I'm not going to give you an answer you want to hear. It's not going to go well. There are these small moments that I get to go, you know, actually, I completely agree with you about that. Most of the time, though, it's, well, actually, this is what God's word says about that, and I just can't agree with you about your point of view of this. And that's not an easy thing to do, because if I upset you, well, you might leave the church. If I cause you trouble, well, you know, you might decide you're going to go run your mouth all over town that I'm mean and I'm judgmental. These kinds of nonsense, right? And so when you and I are looking at this question of, well, why are God's people so judgmental? I am sure there are people who condemn, more than certain. There are people who say that they are children of God who condemn people on a regular basis. However, if your idea of judgmental is, well, they told me that what I'm doing is wrong, they discerned that I have this problem or that problem, and they said, hey, you know, what you're doing is not right, I hate to be the judgmental. But at the end of the day, they are called to do that. They're called to care about you enough to tell you when you're doing right and when you're doing wrong. And my hope is that you love them enough to do the same. My hope is that there are people who love me enough to do the same. If other people don't do it, I know my wife will, okay? And so, when we get into this discussion of judgmental or being judgy or whatever, the same rules that apply to hypocrisy apply to being judgmental. The first one being, well, are they really being judgmental? Or did you just not like the truth? The second one being, well, to what degree are they being judgmental? Because there are going to be times that people are in the wrong. They're in sin. They're doing things they're not supposed to be doing. And they, in a moment of anger or jealousy or whatever, are to cast things at you and say things at you without actually taking the time to verify that information. You know, if now if they're constantly finding themselves condemning people, then I would tell you like I did with hypocrisy, more than likely not a really a child of God. I don't know any real God who has the time and with all their own problems to go around assessing the problems of others. Thirdly, you need to understand that that is a sin, just like any other sin. That's not an excuse to not follow God. That's not an excuse to not worship God. That's not an excuse to give up on God and God's work because somebody's having a bad day or somebody's really not a child of God and they're just showing their hiney. And finally, that question needs to again fall back on you. As you're saying that of you're condemning somebody of being judgmental, are you yourself not doing the exact same thing? Have you taken the time to actually discern what's going on in this person's life and tried to approach it from a place of love and humility? Or did you finally see somebody make a mistake and now you've got the opportunity to come to punish, to get even with them? So, kind of on the shorter end, because this is really, to me, not a very in-depth question. It's not something that requires a lot of in-depth discussion. But that is the answer to the question of, well, why should I believe in God when God's people are hypocrites or when God's people are judgmental? Which is that God's people have bad days, and there are many people who claim to be God's people that are not, that are more than likely the people who you are describing at this present moment. And so I hope that that helps some of you that maybe you're on here, because I've had many seasons myself, even as a pastor, where I've been like, well, if this is how these people are going to behave, what's the point? I get it. I 100% get it. That when you're trying to serve God, and you're trying to do right, and you feel like 3/4 of the rest of the church is not, that's a big ordeal. I get it. But I want you to understand that is never an excuse to not serve God, because the moment that you decide to not serve God, the things that you are mad about those people doing, you yourself are now doing. You are now being a hypocrite. You are now trying to find yourself being judgmental. So if you're in a place or in a church where this both of these things are a huge problem, then I would tell you to go and be honest with the people about it. Go and be honest with the pastor about it. Go and try and address this problem with the body or with the pastor of the church that you're at. And if you can't get any good movement or progression in that area, then go to another place, because it is hard to be in a church that you feel like has a lot of hypocrisy or a lot of condemning behavior, judgmental behavior going on in it. And go to another place then. If they won't hear you out, they're not willing to adjust their behavior, then yeah, go somewhere else. And if you visit there for a while. There's people that'll go to a church 1-2 times and then they join. That's a horrid idea. Go to a church for a month, 2 months, 3 months. Go on Wednesday nights. Go on Sunday nights. And go to the business meetings. Go to all the places where people are going to really reveal who they are. And go in and discern. Test the spirits. Do a little bit of investigating. And if you find that that problem exists there, and no, not that you find one little itty thing where somebody has done something wrong or somebody's been judgmental, because just like you, just like me, we're all sinners, and there's going to be times that we all play the hypocrite and that we all play the judgmental believer. It's going to happen because you are a sinner by nature. So don't go in there looking for and keeping tallies of every single time something's gone wrong. Go and look for an attitude of whether or not that's going on. And if you don't find that there, then go there and serve. You're hearing the truth of the Word of God. The people have a heart and a right mind and a right attitude, even though Sister Sally Sue might have a bad day every now and again, or she might say something she ought not to say, go there and serve God. Don't use hypocrisy or quote-unquote Christians being judgmental as a way to deflect from serving God. Because the moment you do that, you are now playing the part of a hypocrite, and you are now playing the part of a judgmental individual. You're condemning every church for the sin of one church. You're condemning every church for the second sin of one church. Don't get into that place. Don't let yourself go into that hole or that bad form of thinking, however you need to think about it, to realize the gravity of how dangerous that mindset is. And so that is the answer to that question. I get that one a lot of, you know, why should I serve God if a lot of God's people are hypocrites? Or why should I serve God if God's people are judgmental? And I hope that that helps you to understand what it really means to be a hypocrite, what it really means to be judgmental, and what it really means to actually judge something, which is to discern what is going on in the day-to-day lives of an individual, trying to, from a place of love and humility, learn who's standing across from you, taking the time to figure out who they are and why they do what they do and how they believe and these sorts of things. And so that's the answer to that question. Now, last week's podcast, we had some weird things go on with the recording, but we did fish the recording out of the depths of the sea. So thankfully, we don't have to re-record that one. And that one will go out tonight. And if you know you're on here and you're new and you haven't been on here before, we're kind of going through different questions that we get asked a lot. From talking to people about, you know, do you study the Bible, yes or no? And, you know, if you get a yes, you go, okay, well, you know, what kind of questions do you have? And say no, well, what kind of questions do you have, or what are your reasons? And we've kind of compiled all of that into a list of from the most heard question down to the least heard question, but ones that tend to be very common in those discussions to help people better study the Bible and better understand the Bible, maybe get a better perspective on what it means to be a child of God. And so last week we looked at why should you believe in an eternal God and, you know, in an age of science, essentially. And tonight we looked at hypocrisy and whether or not, you know, you should serve God if some of God's people are hypocrites or some of God's people are judgmental. And so we'll continue to be looking at these questions going on through the weeks. We've had a few of you send some questions in that I'm looking forward to getting to. If you have any questions, send them to us. You just drop me a little note in that little comment bar thing that's on here, and I'll send you an email, and you can email your question. I'll answer your question individually, and then, of course, we'll talk about it on the show, because as I've told many people, if you've got that question, I promise you, even if it's only one person in the entire world, somebody else has that question as well. So make sure to send those in to us. And as always, I hope that all of you have an excellent week. God bless all of you. I'm praying for every one of you. I hope that things go well for you. And as always, you guys get out of here and go study.